US.
You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, January the 10th. Very excited to have with you this evening, or to have with us, rather, this evening, and for your intellectual titillation and entertainment. Mark Weber, a regular guest, a very good friend of mine. Mark is, of course, the director of the Institute for Historical Review. He is, in addition to that, a lecturer, historian, current affairs analyst, and author. He was born and raised in Portland, Oregon, and was educated in both the U.S. and Europe. He holds a master's degree in modern European history from Indiana University and joins us this evening to discuss the highly encouraging, if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Pegida movement in Germany. He's going to tell us all about it. Mark, first of all, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, James, for having me on and for that generous and kind introduction. I'm very pleased to be with you again.
Entirely earned, my friend, entirely earned. Well, listen, there is no one in our roster of guests who I believe is more qualified or suited to speak about this issue than you. So if my understanding is correct, this movement in Germany, of all places, with its ridiculous anti-racism, quote-unquote, laws, you know, no one has been subject to more psychological torture than Germans. But yet here in Germany, we find a hope that we may stand up to reclaim our homelands. So we have, if, again, my understanding is correct, back in October, a very small group of about a dozen people formed the Patriotic Europeans Against the Islamization of the Occident group. That's what this group is called. Pegida, for short, if I'm pronouncing that right, or Pegida. Now it has ballooned to more than 18,000 at its most recent rally. 18,000 patriotic Germans coming together to put Germany first, to stand up for their identity against, well, I mean, is it a new crusade? You tell me. But listen, 12 people in October, now 18,000. Fill in the blanks, Mark, please.
Well, it is very significant that this is happening in Germany, because Germany in general is the most, you might say, progressive, leftist, liberal state in Europe, at least in the major countries, because Germany's structure after World War II was very much set up by the United States, and the German people generally accept the West German Federal Republic because it's been a prosperous period. It's been a period of no war in Europe since 1945, and people generally support it. But there is enormous dissatisfaction, not only in Germany, even more across the rest of Europe, with the trends that everybody can see. The trends and the worries are not just economic. There's a real worry about basic identity and even the very existential future of Europe and Germany. And it comes down really to a basic question of what is Europe? What is Germany? Who are we? And what is we, really? And these are very, very fundamental questions. And it's especially significant and symbolic that this Pegida movement has grown up in Dresden, because Dresden, in 1989, was the city where the first mass demonstrations grew against the East German communist regime that led directly to, of course, the collapse of fall of the Berlin Wall in November of 1989, and the sweeping away of that symbol and of the division of Germany and of Europe. So it's very significant that these mass demonstrations have grown up in Dresden. Now, the movement.
Now, excuse me just a second. Mark, this is Keith Alexander. Let's point out to the audience, too, that Dresden was also the site of a genocidal bombing campaign by the Allies in 1945. That, Dresden was basically a civilian city that was firebombed. There wasn't a military purpose for doing this, and because of that history, I think that Dresden is really at the epicenter of a lot of these issues.
That's very important, of course, yes. I mean, the firebombing attack in February 1945 was even regarded by Churchill privately as an act of terror, mass killing of people with no real justifiable military purpose in mind. But that was characteristic of the Allied bombing campaign during 1945 and 44 anyway. But yeah, a lot of people, of course, have pointed out that this mass demonstration directly harkens back to 1989. Of course, there's other reasons why this is important, too. Dresden's a very important city in Saxony. Saxony has a very strong identity itself. But it's really significant this is happening in Germany. There have been large demonstrations against the trends that have been taking place in Europe, as well in France, and we've seen other expressions of this across Europe. You know, last May, amazingly, the number one party in England in the parliamentary elections was this upstart anti-establishment UKIP party, United Kingdom Independence Party. In France, the number one party in the May parliamentary elections was the National Front, which is a strongly anti-establishment a party opposed to the trends that have been taking place. And it's especially remarkable in Germany that these demonstrations have taken place because there's so far been no real political expression of dissatisfaction in the way that there has been in Italy, in Germany, in France, in Sweden, in Hungary, and some other European countries. The reason for this is that the mood in Germany is different than a lot of the rest of Europe. The mood in Germany is much more to hold on to what they've got. Unlike France or Italy or even England, the economy is still doing better relatively than it is in these other countries. And so the general German mood is to hold on to what we have. Also, there's a great fear that by giving support to these protest movements, that this calls into question some very basic issues about the founding of the Federal Republic and what Germany and what Europe are supposed to stand for and where they're going. It's really a very existential question. Is can you have a Germany without Germans? To what extent does cosmopolitanism and being tolerant mean a suicide? And these are increasingly real questions across Europe and in Germany as well.
Excuse me, Mark, this is Keith Alexander. What do the people in this movement see the real enemy to be? Is it third world immigration? Is it the European Union? What is it that they are primarily focused on?
The Pegida movement is similar to the anti-Islamization movement in Netherlands, headed by a man named Geert Wilders. It's not a radical nationalist movement. It wants to just hold on even to liberal values. Their concern, many of the people who show up for these demonstrations, are really they're not nationalists. They just want to hold on to what they have, and they fear that a strong Muslim minority will jeopardize even the liberal society.
Got to take a break, Mark. Got to take a break right there. We're going to be back with Mark Reber right after this.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Thank you, Art Frith. Thank you, Dale Shannon. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool, everybody. Listen, great guest tonight, Mark Weber. What an incredible show it's been, well, really for 10-plus years now, but the last 4 weeks in particular, my goodness. Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review, be sure to make it upon one of your daily reads, IHR.org. I should mention that in addition to his incredible biography, Mark Weber lived 2.5 years in Germany, and that stint included work and study in both Bonn and Munich. He was a student for 2 semesters at the University of Munich. He reads and speaks German and follows, of course, very closely the developments of Europe. So there again, just more cause for having Mark Weber on the show tonight to talk about this very important issue. This group, Patriotic Europeans Against the Islamization of the Occident, started out right around the time of our 10-year anniversary, ladies and gentlemen, in the back end of October. Just a few people, now it's 18,000 people. It's ballooned into 18,000 people. Now, that's just the group that attended its last meeting. According to polls show that now 1 in 8 Germans would now join a Pegida march organized in their hometown. So, Mark, my question for you is, and we know what this group is standing for, it's standing up for Germany, Germany first, regardless of the left-right paradigm, conservative versus liberal, they're overlooking that, to put Germany first against this Islamization of Europe. You know, maybe they're Jan Sobieski's reincarnated, whatever the case may be, that this has ballooned into this number of people in just a matter of a couple of months is absolutely incredible. Do you believe that this is the real deal, or is this another flash-in-the-pan Tea Party type of situation where we had the Tea Party,
It's neither, I think, the real deal, as you put it, nor is it a flash in the pan. It's part of an ongoing process. It's part of an ongoing trend across Europe of dissatisfaction with the basic direction it's going. Remember, though, keep in mind, there have been larger demonstrations than some of the Pegida demonstrations in some of the German cities against this movement, and the Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel, who's fairly popular, has spoken out very strongly against this. And
of course,
the fact that most Germans more or less are happy more or less with what they've got and they don't want to lose what they have, they're going to be very reluctant to join a movement and join a demonstration which is denounced by the media, by the political establishment, and calls into question the basic direction that Germany's been going in for the last years.
Right, they're very much like Americans in that regard. They've got a bread and circus type of situation over there. They're comfortable. But still, I mean, would you have 18,000 Southerners come out in support of Southern nationalism or anything to deal with America First, even a Pat Buchanan type of situation? I mean, you know, 18,000 people, that's still not to be discounted. I mean, would we ever see the day here where we have 18,000 people lining up for something halfway decent?
Well, I don't want to play it down. This is significant, and the dissatisfaction will grow as the problems grow. At the same time, I don't think that it's going to take off. And part of the I say that for a couple of reasons. First, the Pegida movement is a very unstructured organization. It doesn't have any clear leadership. The man who founded it is a very marginal man. He served prison. He's just sort of captured the mood of some people. And also I say this because it's not manifest in support, at least so far, for any real anti-establishment political parties. The most important anti-establishment political party in Germany is something called Alternative für Deutschland, Alternative for Germany. But there's a lot of people that are sympathetic, but they will not vote for it because they're fearful. They're fearful that it will upset the apple cart. It will. It's too dangerous for many people. They don't want to. It's a lot like the mood in America. Many American conservatives are unhappy with the direction of the country, but they are not really radical. They don't want to change the American system. They don't want to call into question very fundamental things. They just don't like what's happening and they want to oppose it. It's something like that. But now the mood is somewhat different in the rest of Europe. These demonstrations unhappiness with the European Union and with the influx of non-Europeans into Europe is strong across the continent. But it's not reflected by the establishment because the establishment is committed to a vision of Europe and a vision of the future of France and Germany and England that means basically the end of those societies as cultural ethnic units. Their idea is to make Europe something like the United States, in which all that matters is it's a collection of individuals, in which Europe will have no more meaning than the term South America or North America. It will not. That's the official ideology of Europe, and it's one that was imposed, and for obvious reasons, at the end of World War II, and that it's very, very hard to oppose that without calling into question the whole trend of Europe for the past 40, 50, 60 years.
Mark, Keith Alexander again. Is this more a manifestation of specific German identity or white racial consciousness?
It's neither. It's not even an expression, really, of a German identity. They have the flags they fly are the West German flag, which is a kind of a tepid German identity. They want the people that are in this demonstration are overwhelmingly supporters of the Federal Republic of Germany, which isn't any kind of national state at all. They're and it's certainly not a racial consciousness. They're fearful, especially about Islam, because Islam threatens even the liberal idea of Europe. It means the relationship between men and women. It's again. It would oppose women's rights. It would change the relation, the gay rights, and so forth. See, many of these people in Europe are against Islamization of Europe, precisely because they're liberal, not because they're nationalist or because they have a strong national identity.
So you think, though, in the end, that this is a somewhat of a populist or grassroots uprising that will not have any lasting effect with regards to changing the political establishment in Germany?
At this point, no, because it's not manifest in any political activity. remember, Germany has, unlike, as I said, France or even Italy or Hungary or Sweden, it has no real nationalist political party which has any real broad support.
Mark, this is Keith Alexander again. No, you go ahead. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut in on it.
You got to remember, the Germany was, in effect, started over from scratch, from ground zero in 1945. Germany was destroyed as a society, as a state. It was cut up. Millions of its people were expelled. It was emasculated as a country, and it was under occupation for some years. So expressions of nationalism in Germany were illegal, essentially. And younger Germans have more or less accepted that. They don't particularly like it. They don't care, in a way. But they accept it because, on the other hand, Germany's been prosperous. Germans are liked around the world. There's been no war in Europe. And Germans live very well. And they want to keep that. Many of the people who are in these demonstrations motivated not by restoring German sovereignty so much. That's why there hasn't been demonstrations against the European Union in these demonstrations. They're opposed to Islamization and massive and uncontrolled immigration. But they don't know where to draw the line.
Ladies and gentlemen, continue to follow this at IHR.org. It has been entirely our pleasure to make available to you as our guest, Mr. Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review this evening. Mark, thank you for your time. Always a pleasure.
Thank you for having me on, James.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you sick and tired of just being sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of being told that you were somehow privileged? Are you sick and tired of being told to shut up, both at work and at school? Are you sick and tired of panhandlers pestering you whenever you go out to shop or to eat? Are you sick and tired of jobs that never come and an economy that never goes anywhere? Are you sick and tired of having to take orders from incompetence? Are you sick and tired of movies and television shows that depict a white man as a bumbling incompetent? Are you sick and tired of a government that welcomes non-white immigrants and exposes you to diseases? If you are sick and tired of being sick and tired, then the American Freedom Party is for you. Connect with us, theamericanfreedomparty.us. Once again, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
You know, I always have to yell for Keith. Keith always goes to the green room right before a commercial break ends, and I get scolded by our producer. Grab your mic. Get saddled up here. You're supposed to get in the green room at the beginning of the break.
Somebody has to tend to the groupies here, right?
Okay, we're not going to give away all of our secrets. But we will give away one secret, though. Now, don't go over the top in your description of this, but before we invite Winston to join us in this conversation now, first of all, I should say that I want to thank again Mark Weber, the director of the Institute for Historical Review, for being with us to discuss his thoughts on the movement there in Germany. I have some hope for it. We'll see how it pans out, but he's the expert. Anyway, before Weber came on, Keith, you and I, in that extended commercial break that befalls us each hour, you know, we have the top of the news break that's a little longer than our typical commercial break at the top of each hour, about 6 or 7, 8 minutes, I guess it is. We were indulging in some YouTube videos. What did you see, Keith?
Well, I saw the most sycophantic display I've seen in a long time. I saw James throwing himself at Frankie Valli at a live concert. I mean, he just about, I thought he was going to lay a smooch on him.
Or what... I told you not to go over the top.
That's not over the top.
What he saw was me on the front row shaking Frankie Valli's hand. Frankie walked over to me and shook my hand. That's what he saw. And I don't know what other nonsense is
saw James go back for thirds, basically.
Okay, well, when Frankie, hopefully Frankie will outlive me, but should I be so unfortunate as that I outlive Frankie, I will post that particular video which you saw. And we'll let people decide.
James will be one of the pallbearers, undoubtedly. If he is.
Okay, enough's enough. Enough's enough with these gross exaggerations, Keith. I'm going to have to turn off your mic after that. No, just kidding. Anyway, we want to get to Winston Smith. We have to entertain our audience a little bit with moments of levity. I mean, the content of this program is too...
Let there never be any doubt that James is a true blue, dyed-in-the-wool Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons fan.
The contents of this program is too horrific to not have moments of humor from time to time. Anyway, Winston, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I am doing all right. I'm dying of a cold, but...
I can tell. I can certainly tell. You know, I got a text message from Winston earlier today, and he reminded me of, well, there's two ominous events that Winston is with us this evening to discuss, among other things. But Winston, tell us the first of these two events, not related to what happened in Knoxville.
Not related to Knoxville. I don't know what the other two would be, but one of them today is the anniversary of the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. And a few years ago, James and I had the distinct honor and privilege of interviewing, I think, three of the survivors of that infamous attack on U.S. On a U.S. Ship. I was amazed at the bitterness that those men held, the grudge that they had had over the years, and rightly so. Those men have been maligned. They have been mistreated. And, you know, Israel got off. They got away with it.
Well, because folks, of complicity from on high. This is Keith Alexander, Winston. Good to hear your voice again.
Well, it's a real pleasure to be out with you, brother. I've missed having lunches with you and sharing the mic with you.
Yeah, I remember we'd go out to lunch, and it's like I had poisoned you. We took you to that barbecue restaurant. I finally figured out that we couldn't do that. But it's great to hear your voice. Great to be with you again.
Well, it's my pleasure.
Well, what Vince is talking about, of course, ladies and gentlemen, is the attack on the USS Liberty perpetrated by Israel. It's interesting who's our friends and who's our enemies. We've wiped out how many countries that have done nothing at all to imperil America's vital interests, but yet we ally ourselves with the one country in the last 100 years that has directly assaulted American servicemen.
And furthermore, we have aligned ourselves with the one nation in the Middle East that doesn't have a drop of oil on it.
And furthermore, Keith, you are correct in that, of course, but we engage in fratricide, the United States does, against its own countrymen who wish to break away from the federal Leviathan, which, of course, happened between 1861 and 1865. But, as Winston has mentioned, back on June the 8th, we'll refer to you to our broadcast archive, folks, because we don't have time to cover it tonight. It's a busy show. But go back to June the 8th, 2008, and you will find that we interviewed three surviving members of the USS Liberty, Ron Kukol, Gary Brummett, and Phil Turney, three survivors of the infamous attack. They told us their uncensored history on the Political Cesspool on June the 8th, 2008. It's still ready and available for you at our broadcast archives at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's very uncanny, Winston, that the guest who joined us in that show, in addition to the three surviving crewmen of the USS Liberty, or three of the surviving crewmen, was none other than Mark Weber himself, who directly preceded you this evening.
Well, what can I say? Funny how things work out.
It's like Yogi Berra said, deja vu all over again.
That interview that we did, James, that was one of the highlights of my political cesspool career. I remember one gentleman was so enraged that he had to leave the interview. I think he was having some blood pressure issues. He had to bail out. And I wondered how he was, as the interview progressed, he was getting more and more fired up. His voice was getting tight. I think I heard some pounding on tables in the background. But those men, they definitely got the dirty end of the stick. And folks, you should take a look at some pictures of the ship after that attack. And the whole thing just reeks of conspiracy, especially the actions of President Johnson.
John McCain's grandfather. And John McCain's father or grandfather that was the admiral that was put in charge of the cover-up.
He's so old, who can say? But yeah. Anyway, Winston, that was a great show. That was one for the archives for sure. June the 8th. Listen, we've got another ominous anniversary that we must discuss in just a moment. We'll do that in the very next segment. And Winston wrote an incredible article for both DailyKen.com, which we reposted at ThePoliticalCesspool.org. We're going to get to that in after the commercial break. But before we do that, I want to go very quickly to the one and only Matt the Copperhead. Matt? Welcome to the program again.
Hey, good evening, guys. How you doing? Winston, it's always great to hear your voice on the show also. Matt the Copperhead.
Well, thank you,
yeah, absolutely. No, I just want to call. In fact, I'm wearing my USS Liberty hat at the moment. That's talk about timing is everything.
Wow. What are the odds of that?
Yeah, I'm at a Kennedy International Airport. I'm fixing to get on a plane back to Mother Europa in a few hours, so just wanted to call.
You're going to Europe?
To the show. Yep.
My goodness, you know, Scoop was talking about how you are everywhere. We, of course, always have to name drop the one and only Matt the Copperhead, but you're going to Europe. May I? You indulge America tonight in telling us for what and to where?
Well, my itinerary, I'm going to start off in Belfast, Northern Ireland, and going to be heading over to Croatia to soak up the sun in the Adriatic at this time of year.
We thought you were going to Transylvania to go back to your roots.
Yeah, exactly.
okay, guys.
But I love wearing my USS Liberty hat wherever I go. Alpha Golf Tango Romeo -5, and on the back it says "Never Forget." So it's a good conversational piece. When people say the USS Liberty, I get to tell them the story and pass them on to the political cesspool.
Well, let me ask you this, Matt, since Winston is with us tonight and since he was the reason we are revisiting this particular interview out of the thousands we've done, have you listened to the political cesspool's interview with the USS Liberty survivors? It was back in 2008.
One of my favorite shows.
There you go. Now, we should have known the answer to that. It should have been a rhetorical question, but, you know, we've only met Matt in the last few years, and that was, what year is this now, Keith?
2015.
That was 7 years ago. So,
right.
7 years ago we did that interview, but yet he knows it, and, well, we're honored. Thank you, Matt,
hey guys,
for the call. And have
mentioning
a...
about Europe, I just want to say this whole, I'm sure you've heard it, the whole Charlie Hebdo incident.
Yes, you know, and I wanted to ask Mark about that. We ran out of time, and we're running out of time again here now. But we'll revisit that next week. Of course, the terrorist attacks that make this Pegida movement in Germany all the more pertinent. But thank you for bringing that up, and we'll revisit that next week. Thank you, Matt, and we'll be back with Winston Smith right after this.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells. But as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Welcome back to Get On The Show. Call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We're singing in the studio tonight with bumpers like that, ladies and gentlemen. That is Let's Hang On. Let's hang on to what we got, that's for sure. Let's hang on to Western civilization. What about that? How about that? That's what we got. That's what we're here to do here on the Political Cesspool. Okay, Winston, well, another far more, well, not far more dubious, but, well, equally dubious anniversary recently passed, and I am ashamed that it would have passed without my noticing had it not been for Winston Smith himself. It is an anniversary that occurred on January the 6th, 2007. I should have known this because I was on CNN as a featured guest to debate an NAACP representative to talk about this particular story. Winston, why don't you fill us in about what that story was and what you wrote about it for DailyKen.com, which was reposted on January the 6th at thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Well, it was, of course, the Knoxville Horror. It's appropriately named, the Knoxville Horror. Shannon Christian and Kristen Newsom were a couple. They were in love. They were dating. I think they were planning on getting married when they were carjacked and kidnapped and taken to a house owned by one of the Marcus Davidson, or rented by him. I doubt that guy could ever own anything. Anyhow, there at the house, they endured, Christopher endured a few hours of being raped repeatedly by these black subhumans. And I know it's kind of a strong word to use, but folks, I just don't know what other word would apply. Well, I know many words that would apply, but I can't use them on the air. But these people...
Well, no, Winston, describe what we know from the facts that they did to this young man, Christopher Newsom, and his girlfriend, Shannon Christian.
All right, I'll just read from the blog posting. On this day, 8 years ago, Shannon Christian, 21, and Christopher Newsom, Jr., 23, were carjacked at gunpoint by Lamarcus Slim Davidson, who forced them to his Knoxville, Tennessee house. There, Davidson, along with Batavis Cobbins and George Thomas, aided by Eric Dwayne Boyd and Vanessa Coleman, bound, gagged, and blindfolded Christopher and repeatedly sodomized him, making Shannon watch. After several hours, they shot his head, dragged him to nearby railroad tracks, and shot him twice more. Then they poured gasoline on his body, set him on fire, and returned to the house. Over the next few days, they tortured Shannon, binding her, beating her repeatedly, and raping her repeatedly in every imaginable way. Shannon's genital injuries were so severe that medical examiners believed she was penetrated with an object, perhaps a chair leg. They forced her to drink household cleaning products, apparently trying to destroy DNA evidence. After the days of torture, they covered Shannon's head with a trash bag and stuffed her, still alive, into a garbage can. By the way, they also put her into a trash bag. She died slowly from suffocation as Vanessa Coleman ate breakfast only a few feet away from her. This event, now known as the Knoxville Horror, was initially blacked out by the media. But as word of the crime leaked out, public outrage, including that from performer Charlie Daniels, forced news agencies to begin coverage. In an interview, the head of the Knoxville branch of the NAACP defended the perpetrators, insisting that it was not a hate crime, that it wasn't racially motivated. To which I reply, if it had been a black couple in that car that night, would the results have been the same? And we all know the answer to that. Of course it wouldn't have been the same. And here's a passage from Wikipedia, and I don't normally trust Wikipedia, but sometimes they get it right. And here's what
if you've ever been to our article on Wikipedia, which was a featured article on Wikipedia. Of all the articles on Wikipedia, one day ours was the featured one. You will never trust anything on Wikipedia. But continue, Winston.
This is what Wikipedia says. After a jury trial, Lamarcus Davidson was sentenced to death by lethal injection, and Latavius Cobbins and George Thomas were sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Vanessa Coleman was sentenced to 53 years in prison for facilitating the crime, and Eric Dwayne Boyd was sentenced to 18 years in federal prison for being an accessory after the fact to carjacking. The state convictions were all initially set aside because of the misconduct by the presiding judge, since disbarred. Retrials were originally slated for the summer and fall of 2012, but the orders for retrials of Davidson and Cobbins were subsequently overturned, and their convictions and sentences stand. The Coleman and Thomas retrials resulted in convictions, but with reduced sentences. Coleman's sentence was reduced to 35 years, and Thomas's sentence was reduced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now, James, since then, Vanessa Coleman was recently denied parole, and there was a huge outcry against granting this creature parole. She should serve every second of every minute of every hour of every day of every week of every month of every year she was sentenced to. The Knoxville Horror is only one of many examples of especially heinous black-on-white crimes involving kidnapping, torture, and murder. These types of murders are becoming more numerous, more brutal, and more brazen. I wonder if Shannon was able to say, "I can't breathe," as she suffered in that garbage can with a plastic trash bag wrapped around her head. Had she been able to, it wouldn't have mattered. Her pleas would have fallen on the deaf ears of subhuman creatures who did what they did only because Shannon and Christopher were white.
And also a subhuman media that is not going to sympathize with them the way that they did with the people that were involved in the Staten Island episode and the Ferguson, Missouri episode that have been so prominently featured in the national media over the past several months.
It is an interesting case that Winston brings up, or an interesting incident, rather, that, you know, Barack Obama, all of these NBA players wearing "I Can't Breathe" T-shirts in honor of this two-bit hustler in New York. What about this young lady who did nothing wrong, who wasn't defying an officer's dictates? You know, certainly no one cried over her loss of life, except for maybe Winston Smith. Winston, as you remember, and I hope other people will as well, I had the opportunity to appear on CNN to debate this story versus a representative of the Knoxville NAACP. This was back in 2007, I guess it was. You watched that video again this week, did you not, Winston?
Well, I watched it, but I couldn't hear it. There's no closed captioning with it. But I do remember that NAACP representative speaking after you spoke, and he said, this was not a hate crime. And I remember you laughing in the background. Nothing could have been more clearly a hate crime. If it had been two black kids in that SUV that night, the result would have been entirely different. They would have been alive, but this thug, Lamarcus Davidson, this subhuman creature, saw an opportunity, and he took it. And he got several of his friends involved in it. And you know, James, I got to say that this is not. I got to say, the very first time I was made aware of something like this, it was back in 1992. And I was living in Lassen, South Carolina at the time. I was in the Navy. And a young woman named Melissa McLaughlin was kidnapped by a gang of subhumans, taken to a trailer. And there she was repeatedly raped, and she was beaten. And they shot her five times in the face with a 25 caliber pistol. And she survived. She survived long enough to give the police a description of the people who did this to her. And the reason that these subhumans gave for doing this to this young woman was because of 400 years of slavery. They mutilated her heinously. And I remember local representatives, black representatives, getting on the local television trying to quell what they believed was an upcoming tidal wave of white rioting. Because this was just a few months after the notorious Rodney King riots in Los Angeles. And these guys were on TV trying to keep white people from rioting. Well, you know, we don't do that because we're civilized. Maybe we should sometimes. You know, I'm not condoning violence, but my gosh, no white person was going to riot over Melissa McLaughlin. They weren't. And they just took the focus off of her and put it on towards sympathy towards black people who were not even involved in the thing.
Well, folks, if you want to read Winston Smith's article, you can find it in the January 6th entries at thepoliticalcesspool.org. It's entitled "The Knoxville Horror, 8 years ago today." That occurred, of course, on January the 6th. It's hard for me to do elementary math anymore, but that would have been 8 minus 2015. That would have been 2007, January 6, 2007. You got pictures of the culprits. You got pictures of the victims. And you've got even my appearance on CNN. You know, I had a string of appearances on CNN. The president of CNN banned all radio hosts, not just conservative radio hosts, but all radio hosts altogether. After they got a dose of me for the but listen, all seriousness, you know, we try to inject a little humor in the political cesspool. Otherwise, you would just go mad. But, you know, one of the most horrific cases I have ever heard of, and I had the honor of serving as the champion of the victims in this debate against the NAACP. God bless the families of those who lost their children in this, and God bless common sense and decency and morality.
And let them not be forgotten.
Let them not be forgotten. We'll take a break.
Don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.